welcome back to another episode of the Exterminatus Podcast, all things competitive in the world of 140,000. My name's Eric, with me is my co-host Robert.
Hello.
We've had a doozy of a startup with some technical issues, but everything seems to be working right at this point. So lots of news to get to, a huge number of events. We had actually a pair down for this podcast. And then last but not least, we have the updated and rather altering and polarizing mid-table obscurity update. So we got lots to go over tonight. First, let's talk about some new models coming our way.
Crude.
Yeah. So the Crute box set, so that was originally previewed. I guess that was LVO, was the preview they talked about the Crute?
It wasn't so much the boxes previewed, it was just that they were talking about, oh, hey, look, here's a new Crute stuff.
Yeah. So much like they've done in the past with Splash releases, all the new stuff smacked into one box. I actually have to look at it again. I don't think the Big Lizard guy, the Crute riding a Big Lizard, I forgot what his name was. I don't think he's in the box. But nope.
The content of the box is the new Flesh Shaper, 20 of the Carnivores with a Crutox Rider, and then 3 of the Rampagers.
Oh, so no Hounds either. Okay, interesting. Yep.
Just a whole bunch of people on foot.
Mm-hmm. But once again, one thing that's been interesting is what is included is the new Tau Codex. So is this the Codex release, or is this going to be one of these confusing the new Codex is in the out in the wild, but doesn't count as an official release until it becomes sold separately?
Well, that's up for a TO's discretion at that point.
Yeah.
The book exists. If you have it, use it. Now, if the Warhammer app changes it, then yeah, that's kind of SOL there, buddy.
We'll have to see how that all pans out. But from the early previews, it seems like it's going to be a rather slim edition. There's a ton of data slates, but from what I could tell from the preview, only 5 formations, which I thought was interesting. Seems to be the new standard now is much fewer formations than we originally thought.
I think Space Marines and Necrons were just the lucky ones that had, well, no, not Necrons, Tyranids, had more detachments because they were the first books in the edition.
Hmm. Indeed. So we'll see what comes out. I am rather curious as the design space, as each codex comes out, there's lots of new stuff coming through. So anyway, yeah, Tau will be our first of the next batch or the next wave or phase, if you want to call it, of releases. Looking forward to seeing how that all changes. Also, it seems like the previews coming up at Adepticon, and yes, times have changed. You know, there used to be a time that people said the season really didn't start until Adepticon. Now it feels like Adepticon's almost the midpoint. But the GW, once again, will be having a large preview at Adepticon, but it seems to be much more Sigmar-related this time around, so I don't know what to expect from a 40K standpoint.
I'm pretty sure they're still going to reveal something small, but it's, from what I've been able to discern, it's very much that yearly cycle, that tri-yearly cycle of, oh hey, it's time for a new edition there, guys, da 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 da.
Indeed. So yeah, it's very interesting. The if you haven't seen it already, it's a very scary stormy night, and the lightning flashes down signifying, I guess, the Sigmarine coming in from another kind of deep strike attack. I forgot what they call it, and then it simply says Sigmar lied. So I'm like, interesting. So.
Yeah, I watched it again, and if before the Thunderbolt comes down, you can see several other little like falling stars coming out of the sky in the far background. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, otherwise there's literally nothing going on in that except for the lightning bolt.
Interesting. Okay, so we'll see how all that shapes up. And then last in tournament news, this was kind of one of those things where we were talking, you know, between seasons behind the scenes, some things we were going to add. And one of the things we thought was, you know, there's all these regional circuits. So we thought each week we would feature a regional circuit and kind of look at which ones we would talk about. And I kind of put a spotlight on that. Well, that all kind of changed with the big announcement this past Tuesday. In case you missed it, the unified tournament circuit, which was something that Goonhammer had put together of a group of mostly East Coast, more north, don't call it no much the Northeast because it includes like Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh and that area, conference of tournaments has decided to merge with three other conferences, and all of them are pretty big hitters. The Florida region, Mid-Atlantic Tournament Circuit, and the biggest of them all now, the Lord Marshall Conference, one of the original regional powerhouses, have all combined to form the Unified Tournament Circuit. So it's almost like we have a Midwest / Northeast with a little bit of Florida mixed in, mini ITC or mini circuit going on at this point. But it's mini is hardly how I would describe it. It's freaking huge now. So is this the writing on the wall that, you know, new tournament circuits are coming through now that the ITC is kind of in mothballs until things get changed?
Well, when you put it in perspective, we don't know what is going to happen with the ITC now that Games Workshop is going to run it, even though they said that this season isn't going to change. We don't know anything for 2025. So, for Goonhammer to have this UTC exist, it's a safety net for players that they can go, oh yeah, not worried about a gosh darn thing. I'll still have a circuit that I can participate in and get ranked in because I don't know what the ITC is going to look like and all that other wonderful stuff.
Mm. It's interesting as moving, how this is going to change also for the Unified Tournament Circuit. In the past, when I was looking at their rankings, it was mostly RTTs. So it was kind of like a nice little, I'm not going to make it to a big event. And that's actually one of the things that people complained about the ITC at this point. If you really want to win the ITC, you better get your plane tickets ready because you're going to have to attend a minimum of 8 majors to really have a shot at winning. This smaller regional thing's kind of made it more accessible to smaller on a smaller scale because you can just participate in RTTs and rack up your score at that point. Now you're adding in all these other regions. You have a lot of RTTs still, but there's that now includes about 4 or 5 majors now into the circuit. So I'd be curious to see how it all kind of pans out towards the end. We'll keep an eye on it and get you guys updated. That was our original plan. They're just going to have to modify how that plan moves forward. So, but interesting to see how this works. Very different from, say, how in England, where they're just, you know, they have all London GT has their kind of their circuit of large events. Not much different from how FLG does things. So kind of neat how it all works together.
Yeah. I in general am happy that it exists just simply because of the fact that it gives people on that side of the continent, all right, I can focus on just playing stuff over here, and they're not forced to fly all the way over to the West Coast for like one event that makes them really grumpy because they flew 12 hours, they're jet lagged, and their army broke from TSA, and it makes things easier for everybody.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, it's the traveling is a, especially to certain armies just don't travel well at all. And that also has a small effect on the meta when it comes to these cross-country treks. So I think it's kind of neat. I think it'd be similar to what we're seeing now in sports ball with March Madness just starting. This is all the regional play. And then depending on the teams do regionally determines how they're going to do in the national championships. Maybe that's something they do moving forward is you have these regional events and you have at large competitions like going to the US Opens, and that'll determine who gets the golden tickets for the WCW in the fall.
Yeah, I know with one of the events that we have planned to cover tonight, it has some of those golden tickets that exist, which the fact that one, they're actually gold, and two, they're actually physical, makes me kind of want one. Not even to go, just to have it on my wall.
I'm with you there, and that I am so that's, and it's something where I'm just like, especially because some of the larger events you're doing like best in faction get tickets as well. And I'm like, yeah, that's cemented how I want to approach this season. It's a matter of getting out to some of those. Trying to look at the summer once the kids are out of school as being like the ideal time for travel. That'd be really cool. And then one last thing, speaking of tickets, somebody won a gold ticket last week when we talked about the Toronto Winter GT, and things have changed. The TOs have made an announcement. They reviewed some of the claims of players, and they also were able to check the stream on which the winning player was on, and they have actually disqualified the player. And so the rankings, everybody moved up a slot, and a new player is now going to win the golden ticket from there. So two cheating scandals in the last 3 weeks. And part of me says, this is a good thing. Let's clean up the sport.
Yeah, it is definitely a start to things, although it would be much better to just go, hey, yeah, I screwed up, rather than have people go, oh, yeah, we caught you on cheating. You need to bat out. No. just turn yourself in, guys. There's no reason for you to sit here and try to hide and sneak behind things and go, oh, yeah, I'm fine. I didn't cheat anybody in my games.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, this guy from Toronto, I don't know much about this player, to be honest. I don't know if this is a habitual problem or not. Obviously, the one from Cherokee Open, he's kind of synonymous with cheating at this point. Matter of fact, this week I got some fan mail asking, hey, cheating aside, is that guy any good? And it's just one of those, I don't know how to answer that. Yeah, it's like there's this cloud of uncertainty that follows this guy everywhere he goes. So it's like, I don't know if he's actually any good at the game. Because you're always questioning, okay, what was the ruling here? What did he take advantage there? And so it's not really worth it. I just don't get it. I don't know why you feel that something is necessary. And nice to see it to drum that out of our community. I think it's a great thing.
Yep, we're not perfect, but we'll get there.
Yeah. One thing we're going to get to, though, is there is plenty of tournament action throughout the weekend. So, Robert, where do we want to start for this coverage?
Well, we're going to start kind of off the beaten path with a extremely large event that happened over this weekend, the California Team Championship. So,
that's right.
At this point, I think every single event is just going to have TC at the end of it. Because this was CTC, this was UTC, ITC. We're just going to go through the alphabet.
Yep. Don't forget, I think there was also the 8TC, you know, as well. So we have a number in there, too. But I'm excited for this. I'm really thinking about, you know, we talked about this beginning of the season. If team tournaments were going to arrive, I think this might be the year the team tournaments finally come to North America. So this is kind of exciting.
Yep. So overall, looking at the team placings, we have in fifth place was one of the Team Zero Comp teams. I don't know how many teams they actually had, but that usually signifies that they had two. Going 3-1-1. And Arizona's very own Smite Club coming in fourth, going 4-1-0. Yeah, one win. One loss, four wins, one loss, one draw. It's no draws, yeah. I can read. Third place was hashtag Team Wrecked is going 3-0-2. And then one of the many Xenos Petting Zoo teams came in second with the same record of 3-0-2. And then the top contender was also a Xenos Petting Zoo team going 4-0-1.
Very cool. So nice to see that. Congratulations to all the teams there. And like I said, super excited to see this team format going through. And I think it might be a nice alternative for a lot of players to kind of work in that type of environment.
Yeah, I know. I'm mentally straining over me and a couple of other folks going out to the Brain Champions Cup.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah, because 8 players. That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of wrangling and rascaling to get people to show up. So,
yeah. But I think we'll do it.
Yeah. All right, what's our next event for this weekend?
Well, then we're going to jump up to Canada.
OK. Canada.
Yep. To go up to the Berry Bath. Berry Bath? No, Berry Bash. Bath. Wow, I am way off of my words today. But yes, the 10th Berry Bash, put together by Canada's own Scarry. It's astounding that he's run this thing for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's just gotten bigger and bigger every single time, I think.
I love what somebody was making. It's not even in Berry anymore. I'm kind of like going, really? Come on.
Bruh. Exactly. It's the memories. So, in the top five of the Berry Bash, we have Hamza Saeed with Dark Eldar. Yeah, I read that right. It's Dark Eldar in fifth place.
Interesting. Okay.
I was totally expecting, yeah, woos, from you, Eric. So subtle.
I'm trying to be objective in my approach.
In fourth place is Nick Jagiello with Guard. In third place is Zachary Riegling with Sisters. Second place is Cody Brown with Sisters. And first place is Ryan Bell with World Eaters.
So first thing, I want to make fun of them. On Stutter Scrub, Dustin Henshaw and Scarry were had like a fantasy draft of who would win. And between the six of them, I don't think any of them finished in the top five. So,
whoopsies.
Yeah, I think maybe Cody was drafted. But anyway, so I think that was pretty funny.
So just taking a quick peek at Ryan's list.
You are really tongue-tied this evening.
I think it's because I bit my tongue the other day and my tongue's kind of swollen.
You know, I actually burned my the inside of my lip when I was eating something I was probably should have let cool. And then it blistered. And like today is like the first day, like the blister's gone down, but I can still feel like this weird rough patch. I'm just like, this feels very strange.
Yep. So it's Angron, Invocatus, Juggerlord, Mo, Jackal. Some Berserkers, Rhino, 8-bound. Yep. Nothing crazy going on there. Just, we are world leaders. We run screaming at you and we hit things.
Oh, if it works, don't break it.
Except break their stuff. We don't want their stuff to work. But yeah, congratulations to the top five finishers of the Berry Bash. And that was actually the event that had the golden tickets floating around in the prize pool. So, curious to see how many other people end up going to big fancy events and going, ah, I earned this.
Mm-hmm. I know locally here, I think it's the Battle for LA. It's one of the ones that TOT radio guys run in Pasadena that has like a golden ticket as well.
I think that one is Battle for LA, because the one time I went to that one, they hadn't started doing the golden ticket things yet.
Yeah. Remember, like last year, that was the big thing. It was like they weren't really selling that well, and they're like, I wonder why. And then it's like, does anybody know how many tickets they're giving away? Run, so get there. And a couple of our guys kind of like last minute made the road trip to get to that tournament. So,
yeah, depending on how things look for me this year, I might try to scurry my butt out there again.
Yeah,
because I know I am currently slotted to go to Reno again.
Oh, cool. What do we got coming up next?
Well, we hop just over the border over to Washington to the Cascade Clash. A nice, healthy 104 people? Yeah, I can math.
Wow.
So, the top five rounded out to be someone like Steve Trimble with Death Guard.
Mm-hmm.
In fourth place is Jake Dardzinski with Chaos Knights. Third place is Adrian James with Imperial Knights. Second place is Mikhail Croy with World Eaters. And first place is Nicholas Olsen-Johnson with Necrons. I think I'm just trying to talk too fast.
That might be it. If you want to hear more about the meta in the Pacific Northwest on the StatCheck network of podcasts, they have a whole new show called Take All Comers. And then there are a bunch of guys that are, including Lucas Troller is one of the hosts of that show. And it gives a nice insight in how they prepare for the game. It's a very interesting approach, a little bit different from some of their other shows where you've got WTC players versus dads trying to make be competitive on the big stage. It's kind of neat. So, I hope they continue the show.
Yeah, I'll probably have to go give them a listen because I know I barely prepare for competitive events anymore. I just kind of go, all right, it's this weekend. Am I painted? No? Okay. I'll be done by then.
Yeah, I prepare. It just doesn't seem to pan out with the result. That's not true. The first RT, the RTT right at the end of the year there in December, I did really well at. So I was like, okay. Gave me a false sense of hope. I was like, all right, I got this. And now I'm like, oh, I do not have this.
Well, some people would say that my habits tend to lead to a dumpster fire because that's the next GT they were going to out in Pennsylvania.
Where in Pennsylvania is this, out of curiosity?
Phoenixville.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Near, fairly near where I used to live. So, cool.
Yep. So, the top five of the king of the dumpster that's on fire rounds out being Garrett Davies in fifth place with Chaos Space Marines. Fourth place is Craig Valvano with Chaos Knights. Third place, Corey White with Demons. Second place is Mark Benning with Tyranids. And first place is Brian Zhu with Tau.
Interesting. All right.
Just going to take a quick peek here. Okay, three cadres. That's different. Two commanders, Breacher, Breacher, Breacher. Lots of Devilfish. Double Crisis Suits, Double Hammerhead, Kroot, Pathfinders. Opting to take Piranhas instead of Tetras. Interesting.
Might not be able to get the models.
Yeah, true. Or it could be a points thing. Because he is bringing three Cadre Fireblades, which you only usually ever see one nowadays. So yes, congrats to all of those that participated over there. Make sure you take a shower. Burning garbage kind of smells bad.
Yes, it does. All right.
But the last event that we have is the Planet Arcanite. I don't know why they spelled it that way. They might as well just called it Zinch Chickens because that's the logo they used. Happening out in Missouri. And the top cut looks something like Tony Thibault in fifth place with Eldar.
I haven't heard from him in a while. He's an old friend of the show.
In fourth place is Jacob Andes with Death Guard. In third place is Ted Williamson with Necrons. In second place is Cam Hawkins with Templars. And in first place is Aaron Hermstedt with Death Guard.
Dun, dun, dun. It's interesting how Death Guard is so much more popular in Europe than they are in the United States. It seems, maybe he'll catch on after winning this event.
Maybe, but the event actually ended in a draw, of all things.
How, what?
Yeah, it was Aaron versus Cam, and I think it literally came down to battle point splits. Yeah, Aaron beat Cam by 11 points off of battle points.
Okay. Which something I was debating whether to bring up. I'll just kind of throw it out there today, just a little digest a little bit. As a tiebreaker, I don't know how you can do this in PCP. I don't know if you can do it in PCP. So first measure would still be wins. You know, the top player with the most wins wins the event. But when you get a situation when you don't have enough rounds to determine a true undefeated winner, is that a battle points? I wonder if you could do a differential to determine the winner.
So use a sliding scale to determine who actually came in first or not.
Right. So it was when I was tracking stuff for our own ranking system, I noticed there are a couple of tournaments in Europe that they do differential in singles events. And in, unfortunately what they did was battle points. So it just, so somehow a guy who was like, you know, had a loss actually came in second, whereas three undefeated players came in third and fourth, you know, that sort of thing. Hmm. And I was like, well, I don't like that. I mean, I'd still want the guy who went undefeated to win, but then you could show with differential that he's, you know, doing, you know, they're not just close games, that he's winning by a larger margin. So I was like, rather than just amassing battle points, because battle points, oh, you didn't score a perfect game. Sorry, you lost the tournament. So,
yeah, that's something that could easily be done in theory. I just think BCP doesn't have the functionality for that right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it does either. I'm still on the fence about it because the other thing is for high competitive events, I love differential, especially in team events. But when you get to that middle ground area, you know, like the mid tables where people are kind of, you know, they're rolling dice, they want to be competitive, but we still have a lot of fun game. The problem with differential is it behooves you to beat the living snot out of your opponent. You know, to really, you know, really run up the score on them.
Yeah, it's the idea of if you can win more, do it.
Yeah,
and that's there's no reason you should score less than 100 points. Right.
But I do like the idea that, oh, I lost in a matchup that I probably should not have, you know, that I would have normally lost, but I only lost by a smidge as opposed to getting clobbered. I get points for that. So I could see that kind of being a little more fair than just battle points. So,
yeah, I expect to just be in the mid tables all the time until, you know, I have a stroke of genius and somehow come out on top of something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the same point, too. It's just like, okay, let's get some wins first. You know, get some wins in there, and I'm not going to sit there and, you know, the days of sneaking into the ITC from RTT points is dead and gone. So at this point, RTT are more practice for the big events. So,
yep.
And like I said, want to hear more Death Guard coverage, one of our good friends of the show, Don Hoosen, is on a show. He's speaking with Pierce Condrone on a show called Matchup Tier List. So look for that as a download. It's on YouTube. So he and Pierce, who is a WDC player for Death Guard, are talking about not only Death Guard, but also list archetypes, as well as differences between Europe and the United States when it comes to the meta for Death Guard. So,
yeah, I haven't taken a listen into that myself yet, since, yeah, it's mainly about Death Guard. Yeah, but it's still a good way to learn what the Europeans think of stuff.
Yeah. I remember listening to, was it Meta Chasers? That's the show they preview all the tournaments. Kind of the opposite of our show. We tell the results, they tell you what's going to happen. There was a tournament, I think it was in Yugoslavia or Czech Republic, one of those Balkan countries, and I was like, oh, wow, neat. And they were talking about an AdMech list. And I was like, ooh, this sounds kind of spicy. And it looks like a really cool list. I'm trying to convince my son to, hey, you should run this list with your army. And I think Adam kind of summed up the AdMech's struggles in very succinctly in that the best data slates in the Codex do not have a formation that suits them, you know, where they're the focus. So I think, yeah, that explains what's going on.
Yep, that's always the issue.
Yeah, you've got some really good data slates, but you don't get all the buffs for it. It's kind of like, oh, all right, never mind. All right, Robert, do we have any other events to cover this week?
Nope. That was all of them. We pretty much hit them all rather quickly there. So,
yep. We're rapid fire mode today. Rapid fire all day, all night. And then let's get into the mid-table obscurity. For those of you new to the show, this is where we look at the factions that went 3-2 or 2-3 over the past time period. So this time we're going back to the most recent data slate and find out which armies are most prevalent in the mid-table range. And another shakeup. Before it was Necrons were number one, but they have extended their lead. They now represent 10% of the mid-table meta, despite the fact that they also won 7 events, which is kind of strange. But everybody's jumping on the Necron bandwagon, which is, and if you're curious, oh, Canoptic Court versus Hypercrypt, I will tell you. Give me 1 second. Here's my computer hamster runs as fast as he can on the belt. So, but while that's churning away, second place, Adeptus Custodes. Third place, Eldari, and then Surprisingly, Tau is now working their way up. They've actually passed Black Templars, which I thought was bizarre when it comes to the player population. So, so for some reason, I guess a lot of people have Tau models lying around getting ready for the new codex. I'm confused.
And then maybe people decided to sell off the army when they were like, nope, we don't want to be associated with this army. Goodbye.
Yeah, so really strange. Then, of course, speaking of, you know, armies that, you know, the initial starter set of the edition, Space Marines and Tyranids round out the top five. Death Guard are right outside the top five, so that'd be interesting to see there. And then also a little bit of Spike Astra Militarum is starting to crawl their way back up. Looks like the honeymoon for Jakari is over. They've kind of stalled, not gaining any momentum. And Black Templars, although they won two events, getting no love in the middle tables, down all the way down at 3%. So, give you an idea, you are almost three times more likely to fight a Custodes player than you will a Black Templar player.
And at least most of us are friendly. So, at least I hope so.
Hope so. But in case you're wondering here, yeah, Necron splitting up. Hypercrypt Legion in the mid tables is outnumbering Canaptic Court 2-1.
So, honestly, that's not that surprising, because the Hypercrypt guys need a lot more thought and a lot more precise movement to capitalize on their mobility buffs. Whereas Canoptic Court, they just walk up to the middle and just kind of go, nah, yeah, you're not going to move me.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, nobody's playing the Obeisance Phalanx. I like that one a lot. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe they just don't want to.
Well, I think it's one of those that you're leaning into, again, units that nobody, not very popular. I wouldn't say they're bad code days late, but Triarch Praetorians were notoriously terrible in the last few codices. They're pretty good in this because they have the close combat as well as the shooting all at strength 5, and they've got mobility because they've got those jetpacks. I'm like, I like this. This could be kind of handy. And then it also buffs Lich Guard, which are also a popular model. So you've got a popular unit, then a couple unpopular units. So I don't know. Maybe that'll be the next pivot, because I have a feeling Necrons are going to see a little modification soon.
Well, it does come down to what we'll see out of updates and such.
That's true.
Because Tau are going to get their new book. Who knows? People might be scared of what happens to them.
Could be. So it'll be very interesting to see how that pans out. And then, speaking of other new releases this week, we talked about new models. Over on the Warhammer Plus side, we got a new show coming out. I'm very excited about this. Called Broken Lance.
Yeah, I'll probably actually watch this one right when it drops, unless I'm behind the curve already.
It's supposed to drop Wednesday.
Aha! So I'm not behind the curve.
As usual, you're trend setting ahead.
No, Eric. I can never predict the future. Don't try to get my hopes up. But yes, if anything was like the Exodite, where it was a super cool premise and really well done, except for they didn't give you enough information to build off of, that's kind of what I expect to happen with Broken Lance. Is it's going to be, here's the super cool story, we're not going to give you a whole bunch of information, have at it.
Yeah, that was disappointing, because I was like, in one respect, visually it was absolutely stunning. And there's a lot going on, and there's a lot of these cool cameos in the background. For example, not a major plot point, because there really wasn't much of a major plot. A Tau, it's the Manta missile cruiser, gets shot down by a Titan. You know, it's such a cool... And then the Wraith Guard, you know, the Wraith Knights come out, and they fight the Imperials as well. And it's like, oh, this is really, really cool. Not sure what else is going on here, and if how is this going to expand, but the plot's pretty simple. So I'd be curious to see what Broken Lance is about, because it's one thing that's a little frustrating is that the better shows have all been the Age of Sigmar shows. So they've,
which I haven't watched any of them.
Yeah, actually, the Blackthorn, which they actually made figures for every character. You know, there's four or five of the Sigmarines. What were they called for real? Stormcast Eternals, is that what they are?
Yeah, Stormcast Eternals. Yep.
I actually was like, oh, I'll give it a try, and then I got hooked. It was actually a really good show. I was like, okay, I'm getting behind what these things are, and kind of the storyline of what they make sense of. And then they came out with the models. I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. I can play my characters from the TV show. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, that one I did watch, because you're talking about the one with like the witch hunter, the guy with the two little mini crossbows or whatever that went into the sewers, right?
No, it's she's a Stormcast Eternal, and I guess every time they teleport into battle after they've died, they lose part of their memory. So she's trying to figure out what's going on, and she's fighting a Nurgle plague that's coming in.
Ah, that one.
Okay. Yeah, and then one of the other Stormcast Eternals does know the true story, but is refusing to tell them. You know, just focus on the now. You don't need to know what's the history is. So it's kind of a neat little twisty thing. They got one of the sea elves. She seems to know more than she's letting on, and she's kind of helping them try to find, you know, what's going on for themselves. It has had a couple of the tree spirit people in it. It was really cool.
Okay, yeah, that one I have not watched. The one that I did tune into was the one with the humans going into the sewers of their Empire City, trying to track down some noble or something. They ran into Skaven. They ran into vampires. It was just generally a bad time.
Yeah, I saw that one too.
But it was a good show.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was pretty good. So I'm trying to think what else. Also, Warhammer Plus this week, they are something fasting for you, Robert. They are on Lore Masters, which is very hit or miss show, but when it hits hard. And this might be that week. They are talking about the Dark Cells. So specifically what the Shadowkeeper custodians work on and the super prison that's deep in the core there of the of Terra. So I was like, that could be interesting.
Shh. There are no deep dark prisoners inside Terra. You know nothing.
Yeah, the Imperial Guantanamo Bay. So, yeah.
Shh, that doesn't exist either.
Yeah, true. So that's kind of our show for this week. Anything else to bring up before we wrap things up?
Well, I was going to post the progress on my Warden Sovar, but I kind of fell asleep.
Sleep's important.
Yeah, yeah. So expect to see that tonight along with progress on Terminators, because, yeah, Scorched Earth is in how many weeks?
I want to say 6 or 7. And if you haven't gotten a ticket, get on the waiting list, because they have been sold out. All 85 tickets were sold. And so make sure, yeah, get your chance to, if you want to be there, hop on while you can.
And Eric, I'm going to correct you. Like 3.
Is it really? I thought it was the end of April.
Nope, it's April 6th.
That's the end of April.
Well, if it's the ending for you, then I don't know what the beginning is for me. Oh, okay. Gosh darn.
So there you go, April 6th. So very cool. Yeah, if you have not gotten your tickets, jump on while you can. So,
because I think there might be one that opened up if it hasn't been bought already, because I know a little while ago they did confirm that it's sold out.
Yeah. That it has. So... so look forward to seeing that again. I think that'll also be their 10th year of running that event. So I'll be very excited to see that.
And it all started with you.
Long, long ago. So very excited to see it continue to go.
Yeah.
All right. In terms of updates, I spent all this week working on our standings. Finally got with the new PCP app. I was able to go through all the GT level events and higher since... LVO, so we have got it. But I did not include this weekend's action, so I'll add those to this weekend and post that later on our social media page, and then we'll announce it, keep you guys up to date on future episodes. But Spoiler alert, Josh Roberts, who's won two of the largest events in England, is number one. And close behind him, George McCullough of Real Space Raider Raid, because he actually has won two events with Jukari, is not far behind. So those are your top players there.
Way to go, them.
Yeah. We made also one tweak to the system. Last year, we used kind of a NASCAR system. And we're still going to use the playoff system where you have your champions bracket and your challengers bracket. Or contender bracket, but one thing we found was we only use standings through 1 through 6, so first place through sixth place, and we found the points didn't quite separate the players enough, so we had this big log jam of players towards end of the season. So I went back on Formula One Racing now uses top 10, so we'll be tracking the top 10 players from each event. That gives you more point separation because there's big points for first place and not much separation between like 7th and 8th place. So we should see a little more separation as the season progresses.
Yeah. But in a little last bit of me, as I did say earlier in the show, I am slotted to go to the Rage GT again out in early July. No, end of June. I don't know. Time is a fragment of my imagination. But I know it's definitely before August. So I would recommend you guys go check out the Rage GT. It was fun the first time I went. Be nice to see some familiar faces out there on the second go. Maybe I can somehow kidnap Eric and make him go. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that now. Fair. That might be a pretty cool idea. All right, beyond that, that should wrap up our show for this week. So once again, my name's Eric.
I'm Robert.
And thank you for listening to the Exterminatus Podcast.
Hey listeners, this is Raymond with the Exterminatus Podcast here to talk to you about KR cases. If you're like me and you're constantly looking for that better way to store your armies, then look no further than KR cases. That's right, this is the foam company known for their soft blue foam in cardboard cases. They're a great way to mix and match whenever you're heading out for that next tournament. You can just swap out those boxes and no need to worry about switching the foam in and out. They're sturdy. The boxes help protect your models, and when you order, they come fast, the order is right, and for a better price than the other guy. So go to krcases.com. And when you place your order, be sure to mention the Exterminatus Podcast.
So, friends, I have a very, very important question. Is your beer keg boring? Does it not have enough tentacles coming out of it? Does it not taste as funny as you remember because you didn't put a tear in it? Well, the wonderful makers of the Necro Nom 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 to replace your average pizza, decided to come out with another book of the Lovecraft Cocktail. So they're from reddukegames.com, and it will guide you through 78 different kinds of cocktails to summon a demon, summon a space bug. Who knows? Either way, it's going to be a very, very wonderful time, and we would highly recommend that you try to not ingest too many while at the gaming table, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen when you roll Perils of the Warp or you roll a natural one on your persuasion check if you decide to play indie. So if you're looking for fanciful drinks, go ahead and grab the Lovecraft Cocktails by the madmen at reddukegames.com, the makers of the Necro Nom Nom.
Are you a gamer that has more bare plastic than you have time to paint? Do paintbrushes spontaneously combust when you hold them? If either of these is true, contact White Crow Studios and get your models painted by a college-trained professional painter. You can contact Bo at whitecrow.commissions@gmail.com and view his previously painted models at White Crow Studios on Facebook.